back from our little break that we had last weekend. I know it's been a bit sporadic, and we missed you guys, but thanks for hanging out. Dave, welcome back.
You know, it feels like we're gone, then we're back, then we're gone, then we're back. But I think we're officially on for the next couple weeks.
Thank God, man. I need some stability back in my life, Dave.
Just to start the new year. I know there's a show that we're only going to have 1 hour. I believe it's in a
When's
month.
When's that happening?
I think it's in a month from now.
Again, for Northwestern basketball?
Or? Yes.
Gosh, man.
It's because of sports.
I got to admit, I don't watch Northwestern basketball. I know they're, you know, big thing.
Don't let Dave Ennett hear you.
Dave, I'm sorry. I'm sure Dave doesn't watch home improvement shows.
True. That's true.
So to be fair.
To each his own.
To each his own. Exactly. But we should post the schedule. Why don't we do that, Dave?
Okay.
On our Facebook page on WGNRadio.com. Let's post our schedule so our fine folks and fans that love the show, and you know, they always email me. It's like, why weren't you on this week? Well, you know, there you go. Northwestern basketball.
That's the problem when a team is doing well.
Yeah, it used to be, I used to be on Saturday mornings before Lou Manfredini at 6 a.m. So I used to get up at 4:30, prep the show, come here, be here by 5:30, and then get on from 6 to 7, and Lou would start from 7 on.
Don't give management any ideas, please.
Heck no. We are not going back there, man. We outgrew that time slot. When the show got so popular, they said, hey, you need more time, Frank. So they gave us a slot here every Sunday from 1 to 3. Well, you know, actually, let me even go before that. I used to be on Saturday afternoons at some point after Lou, and I was getting bumped constantly when the Cubs were airing on WGN.
There you go. Sports again.
Yeah, it was all sports. That's why I have a disdain for sports other than, you know, Premier League soccer.
Okay, then I don't blame you.
And occasionally some gymnastics. And a little bit of, what is that? Where you go down that giant ice slide and you're in the like that kind of, it's like the human toboggan thing. It's in the Olympics all the time.
Oh yeah, I was watching the last Olympics when I was here upstairs. I don't know, I just lost the name of it.
What is it? I can't know. Somebody will text it in. Let us know.
Let's
what
check.
I'm talking about. Yeah, I digress. We have a good show today. We're talking about some of the 2017 trends now that we're kind of a month into the new year. Everyone is releasing, you know, their reports on what they're seeing in the trends in homes, and Howe's just released theirs. This is the 2017 list of the hottest trends going on right now. Pantone released their color of the year. We may be talking to an expert from Pantone in the next week or two.
Yes.
But the color is greenery.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Actually, I would have thought it looked bad, but I even saw some couches with the greenery. I saw clothing with greenery. I saw various parts of your house in greenery.
Now,
so it looks good.
We should pull it up here because, you know, I'm just getting the reports hot off the presses. But greenery, I mean, you know, it's green. It's a very shade of green.
It's green, yellowish.
It's greenish, which I like. I mean, back in the day, it used to be emerald green. I mean, you know, every year there's a variation of the hottest color. And I think it was about 5 years ago, emerald green was Pantone's hot pick. So I wonder how much traction it'll get. It went far. I mean, these colors are, you know, suggestive colors of what they think is going to be. You know, you'll see these now in fashion. You'll see them in clothing. You'll see them in everything from accessories to home goods. They'll pop up.
Cars, maybe?
Maybe even cars. I don't know about an emerald green. Or
the auto show is coming up. Maybe
you'll be doing something there, right?
Yes, I will definitely be there. I'll see what are the newest trends in cars, the newest gadgets in cars and toys and all the electronic news. There's always some new stuff there.
I always like seeing your reports or those reports on the home show. I mean, the auto show. I went there 1 year. I tried to go a couple of years, and for some reason, I just can't ever bring myself to go back. It's a big thing. It's fun. And when you have kids, life changes, Dave.
I know.
Dave texts me to go out like all the time. I'm like, Dave, you still have a life, and you know you're not married or anything. So I mean, God bless you.
One of these days, Frank, when I text you,
My sweet spot is like 4 o'clock to like 7.
Oh.
If you have anything going on in that window, there's a better chance I'm going to make it. Before and after that, I'm working or I'm with the kids.
So we need help. What's going on between 4 and 7?
Maybe we'll text us in 312-91-7200. If you can help Frank improve his personal life, that would be fantastic. Anyways, let's talk about what's going on in today's show. We have the owner of Dale Builders, Dave Larkin, is joining us. Dave is one of the contractors with Downtown Shabby, our television show on FYI and A&E Network. A critical part in putting together some of these beautiful homes we created. He's going to be here sharing some of his tips on home safety, as well as 5 things homeowners can do to maintain a healthy home in 2017. Big issue, folks. A healthy home. Our homes can make us sick, or they can work for our benefit. Dave's going to show us how to make it work for our benefit, as well as take your questions. Last time Dave was here, we had a ton of people with construction questions, of renovation, mid-renovation. You want to know about, you know, is a contractor doing the right thing? What should I do with this patio, this porch, this extension? Dave has an extensive knowledge of home construction. He's been in one of Angie's List top design top renovators, 2016 or 2015. And then later on the show, we'll be talking to the folks from Ideal Home Show. Jessica Bowick is joining us, the show manager. I think the show ends today, right, Dave?
Yes, so it does.
You still have time to get down there all day.
Yeah.
It's at Navy Pier.
And she's going to tell us how we can contact all these vendors as well after the show, which is the purpose of it. So you could get the greatest stuff and the newest stuff there.
Like this kitchen workspace deal, that it streamlines your existing kitchen inside the cabinetry. She's going to reveal to us what are some of the buzzworthy booths at the show, and then provide us with some links maybe so you can check them out online. And then I got this Frank's Fave product. You know how I do this Frank's Fave segment where I find things that I love, and or people, you know, send me ideas of things that, you know, you think I might love. I test them out, use them in my own life, and then I report on them. And I'm honest. If I don't like something, I'll tell you. But most of the time, I like them. And if we don't, they never make it to the show. And this week, we're talking about this product called Invigorate. And if you're into essential oils or aromatherapy, you're going to dig this. I'm not going to give too much away about it, but think about the idea of a mobile aromatherapy device. Get you thinking, Dave?
Yeah, because you could create a mood with aromatherapy as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Downtown. Can you name that artist, Dave? I went to the moped store.
The salesman's like, it's Macklemore.
You're looking at the screen.
I'm cheating.
Where's the buzzer? Give me the buzzer. Oh, boy. From one Dave to another. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dave Larkin, the owner of Dale Builders. Dave, how are you?
Good, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. You might know the voice and the face if you're watching us online at WGNRadio.com. Watch. You'll see Dave Larkin sitting next to me. He's one of our contractors on the show, Downtown Shabby. What have you been up to, man?
Not much. Just working like normal.
Swinging the hammer?
You know me better.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Lifting the pen is more like it these days.
Making phone calls and pointing fingers.
Yeah, exactly. But that's kind of, you worked your way to that position, right?
Oh, for sure.
How did you get in the biz?
You know what? I started back in early 90s working for a neighbor and just slowly had enough work of my own and went off on my own. And it kind of escalated from there. I swung a hammer until probably 7-8 years ago.
You enjoy it? I mean, you enjoy getting your hands dirty?
I do. I do. It's fun to get back in there sometimes, but getting a little bit older, so the next day I pay for it.
Yeah. Whew. It's a good thing, man. I like the physical, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, I'm more in the design side of things. It's not like I swung many, many hammers, but, you know.
A lot of sledgehammers,
right? Lots of demo going on, especially on the show. But in real life, you know, I worked with my dad, and my uncle was a GC for years, and there's something gratifying about that, you know, getting your hands dirty. And you have a son, and you post some pictures of working with him at some projects. So I like to see that being passed on.
Yeah, I really like doing it at home more so than doing it.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, your fish tank wall looks sick.
Yeah, that turned out awesome. Thanks for the advice on the
barnwood, the reclaim.
I was scared to go all the way around, but
no, it looks awesome. Yeah. So Dave is bringing his knowledge to the show today. He's been a regular on the radio show here for the last couple months, and, you know, just kind of giving out some knowledge. And if you guys have questions on your construction or renovation projects, whether you're DIYing it or working with a professional, and you have a question, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls shortly. Right now, Dave's brought some ideas to the table on some things you should do in your home that could really make it not just safe but function better. And you know, let's start with some of the things you got on your list here, Dave.
I mean, basically, we've come down with a list of five things that you should you can do to make your home safe. The first one is keep your home dry. I mean, it seems pretty basic, but
it's not.
It's not
right now. I know this, and I'm messing with my whole home humidifier, and I can't seem to get the temperature right. It was working fine, and I noticed the other day I was walking to the basement, and I walked through, and I'm, you know, I have the clear little tube where the water dispenses from out of the humidifying unit that's attached to the HVAC, and it wasn't going. So I'm like, I called the service company, they come out and fix it. Now it's working good, but all of a sudden I'm getting all this moisture on my windows. Where's the, and it has the gauges on the knob there. It says, oh, you know, if it's, you know, 20 degrees and over, you put it on 20. How much should you pay attention, in your opinion, to those numbers on those gauges, or is the moisture on the window? Because I think I'm on par to what they're requesting or recommending with the humidifying unit. But if I'm seeing moisture on the windows, is something going wrong here?
You know what it is I actually had the same thing going on in my house. It's that unit is mounted onto the ductwork, so it's measuring the moisture in the air and that's being produced in the house. It's not necessarily measuring the home's moisture content. So a good workaround of that is either remotely mounted or two, today everybody really has like the Nest thermostats, and those guys are capable of maintaining the humidifier level.
So is it just a simple like toy with it until you stop seeing the moisture on the windows?
You can, but say for instance, you would have that set probably 20% lower than what you really want the house set at typically, because that's, again, that's measuring the moisture in the HVAC system, not necessarily the moisture in the house. If you rely on the thermostat to do it upstairs, you're going to get much more accurate humidity control.
Well, how about the knob that's attached to? See, I have a separate knob, and I don't know if they all work like this, but it's attached to the humidifying unit itself, where it says how much moisture I can release based on percentages.
Right, but that's measuring the air coming out. It's not necessarily measuring the air in the home. So if you use on a Nest thermostat to control it, for instance, it's measuring right at the thermostat, so it's measuring true humidity in the house. So what ends up happening is, the air coming out of the furnace, it may have that 20% humidity level, but your house may already be at 40, and then the temperature drops outside, and you get the condensation because it'll take a few days for everything to stabilize. So that becomes a big problem. For instance, a few weeks back when the temperature dropped from maybe 30 degrees to zero in one day, you're going to get a bunch of water and ice on the windows. Pretty normal.
And it wreaks havoc, though, like on the home itself. I mean, I notice my windows, you know, aside from the windows, I mean, I live in a 100-year-old home. They're not new windows by any means. It's causing a little bit more separation around the glazing, and it's got to be from the moisture seeping in there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So how can we prevent this, Dave?
Best way for humidity control, again, is just go to a thermostat that will control the humidity.
And your best top recommendation is Nest.
A Nest thermostats, they're great.
What do they run at, price-wise?
I want to say they're about 230 now. They've come down. They used to be quite a bit higher.
And is it simple, just rewire, pull off the old one, hook up the two wires, and this thing will just tap right into it?
Pretty much. It's pretty easy. The instructions is pretty good, and there's a lot of online videos on how to hook that up. The humidifier side of it's a little bit harder to do because systems, they'll either have one wire or two wire to control it, and so you got to figure out what you have, and sometimes you have to install relays on older systems.
Is this something you should get like either an electrician or an HVAC expert to come in and do?
Yeah, as far as hooking the humidifier, I would suggest calling HVAC company to take a look at that.
Interesting. Okay, so what's your next tip?
Next one is keep your home safe. Again, sounds simple, but...
Why is it not simple? Are we talking alarm systems?
I mean, that's one aspect of it, but installing it's not just investing in an expensive home alarm system or putting up a fence. There's a lot more things to keeping your home safe. I mean, right down to that other article that we're going to discuss as well. I mean, trip hazards and child safety locks and chemicals and all of those things play into this.
Motion sensors?
For sure.
Yeah, we have an alarm system in our house for any potential thieves thinking about breaking in. Don't do it. We have motion sensors everywhere, even on the outside. It trips up a light if you kind of walk past it, which is always good. What do you think about people who can't afford a full-blown alarm system, but some of these kind of off-the-shelf units? Have you ever worked with any of them?
I've seen those. I mean, anything's better than nothing as far as an alarm goes. There's a lot of alarm systems that are just wireless Bluetooth-type systems that don't call police or fire, but rather just set off an alarm in the house. Honestly, just putting a sign in the front yard that says you had an alarm or a sticker on the window, it'll be a deterrent for sure.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot of, you know my wife, Sherry, really well, and we're finding a lot of, like, even in the suburbs, an increase in crime in areas that we wouldn't normally see, you know, places like Naperville, LaGrange, and all the surrounding areas where either we're just looking for it more, but it seems like more and more crime is popping up in the suburbs. So, you know, following some of these safety tips might be a good idea.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of wonder, speaking of that as a side topic, I kind of wonder how much of that is really changing or if it's just social media and stuff that we're hearing about.
That's what
I
tell my wife. I'm like, I think you need to lay off the mom blogging posts because, you know, you're starting to look for this stuff.
Exactly.
And if you look for something hard enough, you're going to find it.
Mm-hmm. You can find anything on the internet.
This is true. This is true. And what about things in the home like railings and child safety devices? Is this something that is there an evolution in this or is it still kind of the basics, the gates? I mean, because I always struggle with it looking good and being safe.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely evolution in child safety things. Now, I mean, I'm a firm believer and big supporter of strapping all the furniture to the wall. You hear about
dressers.
Especially
the age of our sons. I mean, your son's about five, right?
Right. He'll be five in a couple of months.
They're getting real active. Mm-hmm. They're jumping. My son Luca is like a monkey. He's just jumping all over the furniture. And, you know, you reminded me. I have to go back and check what needs to get strapped down. I mean, right now we have flat screens, and we have the only big unit we have is huge, and I don't know, he'd have to be like in his Hulk mode to be able to knock that sucker down. But you're right, good tip there.
Yeah, the TVs don't concern me as much. It's things like dressers. I mean, they open up the doors and climb them like a ladder and get their toy. And
yeah,
I think it's the IKEA commercial that I've seen recently. Yeah.
Right. And how about those swinging doors? I mean, it seems like, you know, like they'll, most of them look like dog gates. But do you guys custom make things like that?
You do, but there's actually really good product. I don't have the name of it offhand. If you look it up, it's a retracting screen. It's really high end. It's a child gate. It's really nice, attractive looking. You can't even tell it's there. It's just a little tube mounts on the side with a clip on the other side.
And then that portion of it mounts to the existing wall.
Right, you one side of the door jam, and you just pull the screen out, or retracts and hooks to the other side, and it has a little time lock on top. That's actually what I used with Jake when he was much younger.
Interesting stuff. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then probably hit the news right after that. We have a couple more tips getting into the ventilation systems, proper roof venting, bathroom venting, mechanical venting. These are things that you don't think about on a daily basis, but can absolutely affect the quality of the life and air in your home. And this is a big one, Dave. I hear it all the time. Ventilation in the home. Sounds basic, but it's not, right?
No, not at all.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, a lot of people think the tighter you can wrap a home, the better. Back in the 90s, when Tyvek and all that stuff was popular, people were sealing their houses up like crazy.
Like airtight.
Exactly. They had nothing but mold issues and health issues. And a house has to breathe.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny you say that, because I remember speaking to an old-time contractor, and I was talking about new houses versus old houses in terms of construction. And he was like, I don't like these new houses. I'm like, why? I'm like, they're brand new. They're great. He's like, like you said, mold. He was like this old, like crabby, like sailor guy. At least that's how I remembered him. And he said, I like the old houses because they could breathe. I said, okay, but they leak and stuff. He's like, no, that's good. He's like, this little leak is good.
It's good to an extent.
Yeah, right. You don't want a flood like I had when I first moved into my house. But like you know, all kidding aside, what is the right amount of ventilation when it comes to things like, you know, proper roof venting, bathrooms, mechanicals, and all that stuff?
I mean, you have to vent your roof. If you don't vent your roof, you have nothing but mold problems up in the attic. I mean, you have to have...
when you say vent your roof, what exactly are you referring to?
So, ridge vents, mushroom cap vents, we call them, all the little vents up in your roof. The purpose of that is not just to let the hot air out in the wintertime. What it's for is to draw air down through up from your soffits underneath the plywood and allow it to go out the top. Because if you think about it, if you allow the plywood to be hot on one side and cold on the other side, it's just going to create a bunch of condensation, and that has no way to get out, and it's just going to mold. So basically what you're trying to accomplish is equalize the temperature on both sides of that roof.
Yeah. And what's a normal amount of mold versus a situation? Because my house is built in 1920. I've had my wife thinks there's mold all the time. We had two air tests come in. Nothing. You know, so it's like, how much do you believe, you know, what's enough? You know, like, because they say they compare it to the outside mold versus the inside mold when they do those air tests.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact numbers are offhand, but if you can see the mold, that's too much. I mean, you shouldn't be able to see.
Well, when you say see mold, what exactly?
Growing on walls or...
Like in the bathroom, you see, if you don't have proper ventilation, I've seen like little spots and, you know, so that is obvious. But how about just in the air when you just don't know? I mean...
Yeah, that's where those testings come in handy. And they're like you said, they're testing comparing to outside air, and they shouldn't match. I mean, you shouldn't have any more mold spores airborne in your house than you do outside. If you do, there's an underlying problem, and you should... At that point, you should see it.
Does mold smell, though? Like, my wife insists she smells mold, and I'm like, I don't think mold actually smells. I think moisture smells.
Exactly.
You know, but moisture then ultimately leads to mold?
Correct. So where that mold is typically growing, you're going to find it in bathrooms. You're going to find it a lot of times in HVAC systems. If you're not having humidity controls properly, you'll get mold in the ductwork.
Mm.
You also get it, for instance, under a kitchen sink that's been leaking for years and nobody knows it, or under a dishwasher, behind the fridge, places like that.
And there's difference between mold, and then there's black mold.
Right. Black mold is very rare. I've done hundreds, if not thousands, of tests on homes over the years. And
where people that come to you freaking out, like, oh, my God, I definitely got... Because in our bathroom, like, when the kids splash around and, like, there's a little area behind the vanity that, you know, like, if we don't pick up that water, it just kind of gets a little, like, darkish.
Right. And that's then the start of it.
Yeah, so my wife's like, we have black mold. I'm like, sure, I don't think it develops like that.
Black mold is not just referring to color.
No, exactly. But there is specific tests for this stuff. And having the right ventilation, obviously, do it in a bathroom is really important because, you know, every time you take a shower with that humidity, it's going to build up.
For sure. Properly sized bathroom venting is important, too. All the fans are rated CFMs for the bathroom size. And everybody, a quick, easy thing that you can do for that is, nobody leaves their fan on when they leave the bathroom. Put that on a timer. They have digital timers, push-button timers, turn timers, all kinds of different timers for those bathroom fans. When you turn it off when you walk out after taking a shower, it's not really doing its job. You got to get all of that moisture out. So
yeah,
throwing a $10 timer on there could make a huge, huge difference.
How about things like radon?
Radon testing, that's become more popular, say, in the past 10
years.
Is it a thing?
Is it like a thing to scare people, a tactic?
I mean, it's real. It's not just a scare tactic, but I think the testing has just become more mainstream now. And in certain areas, it's more prevalent. Like in Elmhurst, I know they have a lot of radon issues.
Why is that just specifically in Elmhurst?
It's just pockets of the gas in the earth.
Is it an environmental thing? Oh, so it is.
Yeah, it's coming out of the ground. So the radon comes up through the basements. It typically comes
seeps through the concrete?
Not so much through the concrete. It comes up through drain tile systems and sump pumps and things of that nature. Mostly drain tile flood prevention. It'll collect in the tubes that are also collecting water.
Is there an odor to radon?
There's not.
That's the scary part.
That is the scary part.
Jeez.
It actually is pretty simple fix for that. Essentially, it's just a piece of PVC that goes down into the drain tile system and a fan.
And shoots straight up through the attic? Out the roof?
You typically outside. The fan's mounted outside. It just brings it up above
right
the
out.
Level.
I got one of these units called Easy Breathe. You ever hear of them?
Mm-hmm.
I have them in my basement, and
it's air purifier, right?
It's not even. It's a unit that just draws air out of the basement on the ground level and out. You know, they dug a hole through the side of the foundation and just shoots the bad air out and keeps the good air in. Is the concept? Would that be, you know, a good thing to put into a home that potentially has radon issues?
I was thinking something else when you mentioned that Easy Air. So that's something I'm not super familiar with, so I'd have to...
Yeah, it's a real basic concept. It sits on the floor level, and it's got this, like, wide pan that sucks air in off the ground.
Okay.
And then just shoots it out the side of the house.
It sounds like it just capturing the radon, because the radon does set...
And or anything kind of floating in that. That's called Easy Breathe, if you want to look into it. And then finally here, we talked about humidity levels. How about the mechanicals when it comes to maintaining the home?
Well, it's back to wrapping that home really, really tight. Those mechanicals need air to function. I mean, there's flame inside that furnace. There's a flame inside that water heater. And if it's not getting adequate return air and supply air, fresh air, it can't function efficiently. So.
Crazy, man. The house has to breathe. Your house is alive.
Well, back, I would say, in the 90s, again, it was popular. People do their basement. They put up plastic, build their wall, insulate it, and put another layer of plastic on there. And, you know, I've ripped out so many of those that are covered in mud. Mold. It's just locking in all that moisture. You got to let it out somewhere.
And this is why it's important to work with an expert. I mean, really, it's worth picking up the phone if you have questions about anything before you do it. I mean, just call a guy like Dave. Dave, how can people get a hold of you?
You can check out our website, which is daobuilders.net or .com. You can give us a call at 773-870-2128.
Now, Dave, you've been, you know, this is the time of year where if you do work before winter hits, people always like to to think that the environment plays no effect in construction. You know, like the idea that wood flexes and contracts and moves. Let's talk about this, and then we can continue after the commercial. But how much of this is real? Like, you know, you do an installation, and then a client calls and says, "Oh my God, everything's, you know, falling apart. There's cracks in it. You know, what happened?"
I mean, all that's really popular in trim work and flooring somewhat as well. All that wood is gonna fluctuate with the seasons. I mean, it goes back to the humidity levels in your house. In the summertime, that level is much higher than it is in the winter. If you were to try to maintain that level year round, your windows would be covered in ice, and you just can't do it. So what that does is all the trim work and everything shrinks. So say, for instance, you trim your old house in the summertime. It's beautiful. It's all painted. Looks
perfect,
great.
Right?
The heat kicks on for 2-3 weeks. Everything cracks. All the seams
shriveled
open.
Up. And you're getting that call you're calling your contract saying, what did you do here? Your work's not holding up. It's not the case, folks. It's the fact that the wood is an organic living thing, and it absorbs moisture and expels moisture, and it grows and flexes.
Yeah, we call it 1-year touch-ups. I mean, pretty much you do a major remodel, you're going to have to almost repaint that entire.
Yeah, I did, and I'm still doing it. I mean, it's worse with an older home.
For sure.
Without a doubt. I mean, just like you mentioned, for the
breathing. They move more.
They move more. My house is still moving. I'm telling you, in 5 years, the right side of my house is going to be gone. It's going to be like with the predictions of California. It's just going to break off, and it's going to be floating in the middle.
I know a guy that can fix that.
Please. I need help. I got a question coming in via text. What or why is the blackish stripes on the exterior of my roof? Thank you, Lorraine. If you were to guesstimate, I mean, there's no specification of where it's coming from, but is there any kind of red flags that pop up?
I mean, the only thing I think of, either it's some kind of like tree sap stain or some kind of stain like that, which could be power washed out. The other option that kind of makes me wonder is an improperly insulated attic. You'll get look like black stripes, which is actually the rafters underneath.
That's what I think she might be referring to in this text. And if that's the case, is there anything that can be done or an investigation of sorts?
If that's what you're seeing, and you're seeing frost in certain areas and black stripes, that's actually not a bad thing, because if all that ice is melting instantly on the roof, that means that heat is escaping the home. You don't have a properly insulated attic. So when you're seeing those black stripes in the frost, that actually...
maybe an indication things are working right.
Correct.
Well, then wait till the spring or summer and power wash that baby, and then realize that
if the stripes go away once the sun comes out and the snow is melting the frost off, then you don't.
Well, there you go, Diane. Thanks for texting. Let's see. We got some phone calls coming in. We could pop over to that real quick. Let's talk to Susan. Susan's got some issues with moisture in the house. Hey, Susan, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I live in a very old home. It's a brick building in the Bridgeport area, so it's old. It's like built to the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like in the 40s, 50s, I still have to keep the heat very high because I can feel the dampness in the house. I'm on the very first floor. Is there anything I can do about that?
Have you ever checked humidity levels in the house? Do you have a humidifier or dehumidifier?
No, I don't. I never checked it.
Do you have, is it central heat or is it like a boiler so you have radiators?
No, it's a central heat.
I would check the humidity control. Do you adjust it? Do you have a whole house humidifier? Do you know?
No, I don't.
No.
I rent, so I really don't know anything about the furnace.
Yeah, you could buy a simple humidity gauge. I would start there and check and see. Basically, a thermometer, Home Depot, Menards, any of those type of places. You can get one on Amazon for probably $15, $20, and it'll tell you the humidity level.
Well, hold up. If you're renting, is a landlord a family member?
Yes, she is.
Oh,
my daughter.
I was going to say, put the screws to your landlord, but scrap that one.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Why don't you try that first, Deb? Because I think that Dave's right. You should get the air tested with the thermostat because, you know, it could lead to a slew of health issues if there's
Absolutely.
Not a proper balance of moisture in the house.
Okay. And if there is, then what's getting dehumidifier?
A dehumidifier, or it could be something as simple as that whole house humidifier is not being adjusted as the temperature changes outside, and that goes back to putting some type of smart thermostat that'll do it for you.
Oh, so in the furnace itself.
Correct.
Yeah, I have one. I don't know if you heard the show earlier on. We were talking about it. I'm having a similar issue where I have to constantly dial back the amount of moisture that might...
Yes, back and forth the heat. Yes,
yeah,
I
so
heard that.
I think it's a bit of tweaking to finding that balance. You know, because of the old homes, it makes this really difficult. But certainly start with the humidifier testing. If there's nothing on the unit itself, get the thermostat that Dave's suggesting, and that's a cheap start to figure out where you're at with your moisture levels.
Okay, real good.
Thanks for calling,
Thank you,
Susan.
Sir. Thank you.
You got it. All right, let's take our next caller. We have Joanne. Hey, Joanne, what's your question for Dave?
Hi, Dave. Thank you guys for taking my question. I am in the process of rehabbing my house in order to sell it, and I'm looking at the kitchen. And I was in a big box store yesterday, and we were talking about resurfacing cabinets instead of doing the whole new, you know, $40,000 kitchen. And I'm wondering, is there anything I should be leery of? I have someone coming out tomorrow from this big box store to do the measurements and the, you know, the phony, the wood cabinets. glass inserts if you want to, whatever you want to have done. And I'm just wondering, for half the cost of cabinets, is it going to look okay?
I've seen it go both ways. I've seen really good resurfacing jobs, and I've seen horrible ones. I would ask for referrals. And there's a lot of other cabinet options besides what's at big box stores. We offer several different lines of cabinets for people just like you that are trying to do a flip. They're very inexpensive, but they're quality cabinets. You'd be surprised. Maybe we can get you a price about the same as the resurfacing. If you want to give us a call, I'd be happy to come
really?
Out and take a look.
Really? Mm-hmm, for sure. like 10 by 10 foot kitchen cabinets, and it wouldn't be that far off from resurfacing.
No, not really. You're going with different lines of cabinetry. If you're flipping the house or doing resale, you're not going to be there for the next 20 years. So you don't necessarily have to go
right.
with the highest quality. And it'll still be better than a resurfacing job, in
okay.
my opinion.
Yeah, I know Davey gave your number, and I didn't take it down the first time. If I could have it again?
Sure. So you can look us up on the web at daobuilders.net, or give us a call. The office number is
773-870-2128. 2128. Thank you very much.
And Joanne, before you go, just to kind of back it up from a design perspective, even though you're flipping the home, you know, you got a lot different type of buyer these days, and they're way more savvier than they were like 10 years ago because of shows like ours and HGTV. So they can tell a painted finish versus a newer cabinetry. And I it goes a long way to spend, even if it was an extra $500 to get the, you know, cabinetry Dave's suggesting, because I think you can actually add that value to the overall sale of the home.
For sure.
Right, right. And I did have a realtor come in about 6 months ago, and with the prospect of, you know, I'm approaching retirement age. I want to move out of state. And I said, what do I need to do with this kitchen? Is it a complete remodel or not? And she's telling me, nah, you can get away. You know, don't do granite. Don't do this, you know. And trying to lowball me, I mean, you know, not spend the $50,000 on a whole new kitchen. I have a very 300-square-foot area for kitchen and a dining room area, so it is a big area to do. But I am going to look you up, and I'm surprised because, you know, going in that big box store, it was like double to three times as much for cabinets compared to the resurfacing.
Yeah, I mean, the big box store's cabinetry is not super reasonable in cost, and there's a lot of markup on it for sure.
Yeah, and for every cabinet, there's different levels, right?
Exactly.
You know? Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
It's best to start with your budget number in mind and go from there. You know, like know where you don't want to spend, you know, and that's a good way to start.
Yeah, if you go into a project like that with a number in your mind and you share that with us, we can try to get there, do our best to get there.
Excellent. I will look you up as soon as I get home on the internet and give you a call on Monday.
Thanks,
perfect.
Joanne.
Thanks so much.
You
Bye-bye.
Got it. Have a good Sunday. All right, we got one last call here, Dave. Why don't we grab it before we have to bolt? Hey, Bob, thanks for calling the show.
Oh, thank you for answering our call.
Okay.
I was telling the interviewer that my wife constantly is sweeping our floors, and we're getting a gritty dust and dirt on the floors. This has been going on for years. We've been in this condo 5 years, and it just seems way beyond the norm. I put in like a $500 April air filter system on our furnace, figuring that might help the problem, but it doesn't seem to have done anything for it. And I do know that when they built these condos, I found out after the fact that they didn't put in cold air return ducts. It's all in the space between the ceiling and the concrete floor above it for the second floor. I was wondering if there's any solve to this problem or anything we could do with it.
Yeah, that sounds strange that there's not any return ducts. Are you in you said a condo. Are you in like a high-rise type building or mid-rise, or is it?
No, just a two-story condo.
Okay. Yeah, that's odd. I would really have to come out and take a look at it to see.
How long ago was the home built?
It's probably about 35, 37 years old.
And you're just realizing this problem, or did you just recently?
After we moved in. Oh, no, the problem has been here as far as the dust and little gritty, white gritty material, it seems
You've done a whole house filter on the furnace?
Yeah, the furnace, I put in an April air filter system, you know, with the 4-inch thick filter.
Sure.
Figuring that might do the job.
But you said there's no return line, so it's a centralized return then?
Well, what it is, it's the returns go through the wall from a crawl space under the condo. There's a crawl space where the ductwork is. The heat comes up at floor level, the cold air returns are at the ceiling, and the crawl space is what they've used as a plenum to bring the fresh air into the furnace.
Yeah, Bob, it sounds like a bit more of an extensive conversation. Unfortunately, we're running out of time here, but what I can do is have Dave give you his information. He'd be happy to talk to you over the phone, and maybe they can come take a look. Dave, how can people get a hold of you?
You can give us a call at 773-870-2128. Or
2128.
Correct. Or look us up online at dalbuilders.net.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
And Dave, thank you once again for coming in and sharing your knowledge. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back. It's always fun.
You got it. And we'll have you back in a couple of weeks, too. We'll talk about, as the weather's changing, what we can do next to get our homes ready for the season to come.
Sounds good.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
You know that statement, man. It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement. It's really something I live by.
Every single day, you got to improve something, because if not, what are you here for?
It's actually the premise of my new book I'm writing.
So when are we getting a sneak peek about it?
I don't know. I've been diligently writing away.
Are you still writing like around 4 o'clock in the morning?
I do. I wake up around 4:30 in the morning, and then I write until the kids wake up, and then I spend time with them, work, then find time in between to write, and late at night I write, and just writing.
Holy.
It's cool, though, man. This book's going to be really, I believe, and not to toot my own horn, but revolutionary in a way that takes my two worlds that I'm so passionate about, and if you listen to the show, you know that. It's all about, you know, the home and all, everything that happens under the roof of that home, the relationships. And it's encapsulating this show and bringing it to life in a book in a way that's never been done before.
And you have a big advantage because you speak to many, many experts.
I do. I mean, I get to interview some of the best in all industries. And, you know, I'm here with everyone from astrologists to doctors to psychiatrists. You know, health and fitness experts, spiritual experts, and you know, then on the flip side, we got every expert from the home renovation design world. So if you get that's the hint I'm giving you, Dave, is that little glimpse into that merger of those two worlds, and it's going to be hot. It's going to be awesome. It's going to spawn the future enterprises of what we're doing here.
And you know, especially today, now that the home shows are starting in Chicagoland area, we have the pros as well, and we're going to be speaking with them later on today. So maybe you can get some ideas about that.
Yeah, the folks from Ideal Home Show are going to be joining us after the segment. Then we're also going to be next. I think next week starts the Home and Garden that show.
Or March.
In March,
the Garden Show.
The Garden Show at the Navy Pier. It starts off winter, you know, home show season, and then it moves into the spring home show season and the summer home show season. So we'll be covering all that happenings here. But let's talk about some of the hot trends that are emerging in 2017 as we're in our first month of the year, the new year. Everything from cool bar stools to raspberry pink walls and hanging chairs, Howes just released their popular survey where they talked to different professionals in the world of architecture, interior design, and home decorating to come up with these hot designs. And let's see what you guys think of this. You can text in 312-981-7200. Give us your opinion on these trends. Would you ever do any of these in your home? Are they so outlandish? Are they like the couture runway shows that you see for fashion where you'd never wear these things, but they kind of look cool, or you think they look cool? Here's number one, playful bedside pendant lighting. And this is an option for boring old table lamps. Hanging pendant lights free up space besides the bed for the nightstand surface, and especially in for small rooms, this could be a great suggestion. Agree or disagree? I agree. I like this idea. The only thing is it brings up the cost, because now you have to bring an electrician in to run some power from the ceiling, and or you're going to have this exposed cord coming up from the outlet down below and run, you know, a cord cover up the wall. So it poses some aesthetic challenges as well as, you know, potentially driving up the cost. And what you may be saving in buying a cheap lamp, you're going to make up, you know, in the cost of hanging that pendant. But if you can afford it, great idea. Number two, black steel and glass doors. These work for dark entryways that could use some natural light and make a statement for a shower door when frameless glass is too little or too boring in a space. I say yeah. I mean, black steel is making its appearance in the world of design. You're seeing it in appliances, stoves, fridges. I think it's going to be one of those things that'll grow on us. I don't see it being the massive trend right now, but
you know
grow.
What I've seen? I've seen shelves, that color.
Black steel shelves?
Yeah.
I like that.
The corner, it was a corner shelf I was looking for, and they had black steel corner shelves.
I dig it. I think, like I said, I think it's starting. I don't know how if it's going to last or if it's just going to become just like chrome or just like brush nickel. Let's see. The jury's still out. Number three, splurge on laundry rooms. Smarter storage, better function, and more light make doing laundry more efficient. I would say yes. I think that's a good one. I think anytime you can make a mundane task such as doing laundry more pleasing and efficient, why not? You know? That's given the fact that you actually have a laundry room. Ours is in our basement. My wife doesn't go down there, so I'm not going to make it any prettier than it needs to be.
Exactly. It could be a prettier place. Maybe you could add a TV to it. I don't know.
A TV and a fridge. Yeah, that'd be good. I'll just move the kitchen downstairs. Number four, rethinking beige. Designers find beige-based neutrals useful backdrops. Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, I don't know how much, you know, that's such a revolutionary notion of rethinking beige. I think beige is I think beige could be called the new white. Beige is always in. It is a good backdrop. So, yeah, I could see this. I don't know if it's so much as a new trend. Number five, romantic bedroom colors. Yeah, I'm into this. Okay. Most homeowners strive for a calm and cozy bedroom by sticking with walls painted in soothing blues, grays, and yellows. But according to a recent house survey, intimate or romantic is third most desired atmosphere for a master bedroom after calm and cozy. This brings up a bigger social conversation. Should we be romantic in our bedrooms, or should we be calm and cozy, or can we be all of it? I think we could be all of it. And this is where the raspberry pink color comes in on the walls, or they suggest a deep ruby red, caramel, or even black will be hot. I'm about the black in on wall paints for sure. I think black walls are the hottest thing. I've been promoting them and touting them for years. I wrote about them in my book, Dirty Little Secrets of Design. For me, I think that black walls are hot, especially when you contrast it with crisp white. Bring in some silver. You can bring in some camel colored leather in there to give it a little bit of a Ralph Lauren feel. Definitely approve of this one. And as far as it goes, whether it should be more romantic versus calm and soothing, I think it doesn't hurt to keep romance as a forefront in your life. I'm sorry.
Especially Valentine's, it's coming up.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Hallmark holiday, but still, it should be Valentine's Day year round.
Yeah. Let's take some calls, and we can finish this rest of this list throughout the show here. We have a question from Marianne. Hey, Marianne, thanks for calling the Frank Fontana Show.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I love your show number one. It's really great. But anyway, you know how they have the patio doors with the built-in Venetian blinds in them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're very expensive.
They are.
Now, I already have patio doors, glass, you know, all the way down. Is there anything that they sell that is a kit or something that you can attach a Venetian blind and then have a panel in back of it for glass or something like that that can be, you know, attached?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't seen anything new on the market in regards to that. You know, I used to have a collection with Eddie Z's of blinds and shades, and Hunter Douglas makes a great cellular product that works well with patio doors that have the same look as those those expensive ones, but to sandwich, like, are you trying to get the same feel, like sandwich it in between another panel?
Exactly.
Yeah, I haven't quite. I mean, you could customize something like that. You can have a carpenter, probably pretty inexpensively, you know, for a couple hundred bucks, create that idea for you.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Do you know anybody who would do something like that?
Certainly, yeah. I mean,
can you suggest?
Yeah. We have our own company, Fontana Home Solutions and Design. We could certainly suggest somebody. You can drop me an email, frank@frankfontana.net, and I'll suggest I'll suggest you out to one of our carpenters.
You're wonderful.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Good music choices, Dave. I like it. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. That's Dave Miranda, manning the ones and twos.
Hey, now that I know that this place is not haunted, I feel inspired.
Yeah, we discovered that our studio isn't haunted. Well, it might still be, Dave. I hate to burst your bubble. But at least we know, you know, if you listen to the show, occasionally music just pops on somewhere or a button doesn't work and it sounds like we don't know what we're doing, but we kind of do. We've been doing the show for a while. Why don't we reveal the mystery of the ghost of the studio?
Well, one time I was covering, I believe it was for Patty Vasquez, and it turns out our screen TV over here, which has the hotkeys and the programs.
Don't point at it too much. It might do something.
No. Now I put it in a way where my shadow sometimes would activate a hotkey. Because of the light, because of the lighting. So now I just keep it far away.
There you go.
But yeah, I hear we might be haunted still, but right now what I do want to learn about is what's going on in Navy Pier, because it's the last day, Frank.
Yeah, it is. We're going to talk to Jessica Boeck right now. Hey, Jessica, how are you? Hey.
Having me.
Good to see you. Good to hear from you. We didn't see you yet this year, but we still have time, right? The show's still going on right now.
Yeah, the show's going on right now until 4 o'clock today.
Okay.
At Navy Pier in Festival Hall B.
I've been hearing a lot of good things. What are some of the hot happenings at the show right now?
Yeah, so we energy efficiency has been really hot this year with Crest Lighting and home smart products with the Nest and the Ring. So technology has been really big here this year. Remodeling, very popular, and especially, your kitchen and bathrooms.
Huge topic all the time.
Yeah.
What are you seeing in the terms of storage? Because everyone always asks me, Frank, how do I get more out of my existing cabinetry?
Yeah, so we have a couple really cool exhibitors. So Chef Genie is really nice in the fact that you can utilize that to organize your storage. And it doesn't mean that you have to redo your kitchen, right? So you can use your existing cabinet to install these organizational shelves and gliding shelves.
Are these like awesome DIY things, or do they have experts that come out and install this internal shelving units for you?
Shelf Genie is an expert that would come out, and you can talk to and figure out whether you want a spice rack, do you want your pantry, do you want a Lazy Susan, depending on what your needs are, they can help you with that.
And they work with your existing cabinetry setup, right?
Absolutely, yep.
See, that's a big money saver, because if you like the look of your cabinetry but hate the functionality of it, which is probably most people, that's and price point-wise, what are people looking up? Like, I know it varies on what service you need from them, but is it an expensive option?
I think, from talking to Chef Genie, it depends on, whether you're going to do, one pantry, if you're doing one, a couple shelves, or you're going to do your entire kitchen. So they'll work with you and a designer to figure out, with your budget, what works for you.
Cool. And the show's still going on. If people wanted to go there right now, the Chef Genie folks are there. They could go check it out. I think it's a great thing. It's at Navy Pier, right?
Yes, at Navy Pier Festival Hall B. We also have, just in those lines, the galley, which is a really cool, and you can customize this. It's a kitchen workstation, which is really awesome.
Like an island, so almost?
It's almost like an island, and it's really very cool. They're here, and you can come, feel, and touch, and it's like different sliding. You can, a sliding attachments, whether you want a sink, or let's say you're going to do a taco bar with different, size cups, shopping areas.
Yeah.
It's really super cool.
I like that idea for somebody who wants an island but doesn't want to go to the expense of building one. And you say it's mobile?
It's mobile. You can put it on wheels. They can also customize it if you didn't want that mobile as well.
And what's the name of that product again?
Yeah, they're called the Galley.
The Galley. Okay, cool. And do they have a website that people can check out?
Yeah, it's galley.com.
Galley.com. I got to look into that, Dave. Write that down.
You do.
That's a good one.
It's really a hot new product. They were at the Kitchen and Bath Trade Show.
Got it.
And they did really well on this new product.
And what about what I love about your show is you kind of run the gamut of everything home and home accessories and goods. And any good flooring companies, countertop services?
So we have new heat flooring this year, which is, this time of year especially, is energy efficient. And who doesn't want to have their floor is heated?
Oh my God, it's the best thing in the world. Now, is this different from radiant heating, or is this a new type of product?
It's a new type of product.
Tell me about it. Could you elaborate a little bit?
Well, I'm not the expert. So Crest Lighting and Paramount EO are the experts, and they have, in fact, today they have new heat flooring expert in their booth. But I'm sure if you can't make it down here, you could visit one of their showrooms.
to get more information on how that works.
Look at you, you're teased. Like you're giving a little nugget of information here, and you're like, oh, I can't tell you too much about it. Come down to the show.
You know what? I'd hate to misrepresent, you know, because it's a really cool product.
Yeah, yeah.
To misrepresent technical aspects of it, because I'm this, you know, the show spokesperson, so I, you know, not that technical expert.
Now, how often are you guys doing the Ideal Home Show?
This is our third annual at Navy Pier.
And it happens around the same time every year?
Around the same time every year, absolutely.
That's great. And it goes on for 3 days, correct?
Yes, we open on Friday and we go through Sunday.
And about how many exhibitors do you usually have?
Yeah, we had over 120 exhibitors this year. And about 50 new exhibitors from the prior year.
That's fantastic.
So we're growing, you know, in the marketplace. And it's wonderful to see, you know, different remodeling and different kitchen trends and, you know, remodeling from Home Advisor. Remodeling is up 12%. They're expecting in 2017. So that's really exciting.
That's good news. That's good news for me and the exhibitors out there. We'd like to see that people are spending money at their home, staying put.
Absolutely.
Making them prettier.
So it's very exciting. So it's been a really fun show. We just actually had Brian Campbell here. From the Chicago Blackhawks signing autographs and renewal by Anderson Sloot. So that was really fun.
That's cool. The big crowd showed up, I bet.
It did, yeah. He had a really, really awesome crowd.
I mean, who doesn't love the Blackhawks, you know?
Who doesn't, right?
Good stuff. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And where can people find out more information about the show? Do you have a website?
Yes, idealhomeshowchicago.com.
All right, there you go, and we'll see you next.
Thanks for having me.
Got a couple hours still left to go visit today, folks. If not, get it on your calendar for next year. It's a great event. All right, real quick before we hit the news, let's capture one more of these trends from 2017 in house. How about this, Dave? Would you do painting your ceiling medallion yellow to make it seem like the sun? Would you do that, Dave?
Maybe in the bedroom.
In the bedroom? I mean, you'd make your medallion.
Why not? Make something different.
All right. Well.
Especially since we haven't had sun in about 7 or 8 days. We need some orange in our life, some yellow in our life. Why not?
I guess that could make sense. I mean, and then you'd have the light underneath it kind of burst out and it'd feel like a ray of sun. Hmm. Would you then go as far as painting clouds on your ceiling?
No, not
blue
that
sky?
On another, maybe each room could be something different.
Sky, I could see you doing
sun.
Something like that.
Hey, you got to stand out. Why not?
Earlier, Dave and I were talking to what's her face from the Ideal Home Show, and we were talking about the galley deal. I think it's going to be cool. I made Dave get on the phone and hound down the business development manager for the galley. And joining us is Alexandra Yeager. Hey, Alexandra, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I was talking with Jessica, and she was telling me about your product, and I was like, man, you know, we got to talk to them. Because I think, you know, it perked up my ears, the idea of if you have a kitchen without an island and you wanted something multifunctional, you can have a product like the galley. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yep. So the galley is a fully functional kitchen workstation. So you do all of your prep work for your meal, all of your cooking right next to it, all of your entertaining and your serving. And you can also, of course, do your cleaning in it because there is a sink basin below. So it's really a dual-tiered stainless steel sink basin with sliding accessories. So all of these accessories slide above and below each other. Colanders, mixing bowls, drying racks, cutting boards, etc.
Sounds like it's inspired by like a chef.
It was. Well, he considers himself a chef. It was like an amateur chef. He's actually a kitchen designer down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he created the product for his own home. And he, I don't think he ever really considered on selling it on a national level. He really made it for his home. He made it kind of as a one-off for friends and family, and it kind of took off like wildfire because everyone just found it as such a better way to work in the kitchen. It's a more ergonomic way to work. It's a more efficient and organized way to work. And, of course, you're staying a lot cleaner in the kitchen because everything's falling into the sink basin below.
And it's stainless steel, you said?
Correct. Yeah, it's a one piece of 16-gauge 304 stainless steel. So it's just folded up on the bottom and welded in the corner, the side corner. So you're not going to have any pulling apart on the bottom. It's really heavy duty, and we put an angel finish on the bottom to camouflage any nicks, dings, or scratches, and it can actually be refurbished back to its original factory condition with a handheld orbital sander.
Oh, wow. It's a win-win on every level.
Yeah, it's a really high quality sink basin, very high quality accessories, and everything is actually made in the U.S. Most of it's made down in Tulsa, Oklahoma as well.
And just to clarify, you say sink basin, but it doesn't have any actual ability to have a water unit to it, does it?
So we would recommend either doing one or two faucets depending on the size. There is a side drain. It can be left-handed or right-handed. So it is a full functioning sink. I just kind of say sink basin because we hesitate from ever calling it a sink. We're really a workstation company. If you start thinking about it as a sink, you're going to look at it as this really big sink. But it's really a kind of a new category of appliance. It's a workstation.
Yeah, I'm trying to visualize it, like the top surface. Walk me through the top surface of it. If I'm looking down, I'm standing over it, what am I looking at?
Yeah, if you're looking down, you're probably seeing cutting boards, drying racks, mixing bowls, colanders.
All built into the unit itself?
Yeah, built in, but they're removable. So they slide along these two tiers on this. The stainless steel basin is two tiers. And then the accessories themselves slide along and fit into the system. They sit on those tiers and they slide on those tiers. So usually you'll put like the mixing bowl and the colander on the lower tier. You'll put the cutting board on that upper tier and you'll chop and then you'll scoop right into your mixing bowl or colander. You can rinse right there. It's held in place right under your faucet. Everything's held in the system.
God, it sounds like a dream.
It really is. It changes the way that you work in the kitchen. It pretty much changes your life in the kitchen because you're doing all of your heavy work in the system rather than on the countertop. My scraps are, you used to be falling on the floor. Now they can be contained within the system.
But the only thing is you need to run plumbing to it, correct?
Correct. Yeah, you definitely want to have plumbing. So if you're, doing it in an island and you can run plumbing, if you're redoing your kitchen and you can run plumbing into the island, we usually recommend trying to put it in an island or a peninsula. That way you're facing outward. If you put your workstation in the island, you're facing your family, your friends, your guests. Everyone's kind of, congregating around the kitchen. The kitchen's become the hub of the home.
Yeah.
And the workstation is kind of the hub of the hub. So you're working in the system and you're facing everyone who's around the island. So it's ideal in an island. Of course, if you can't do it in an island and your plumbing's on the wall, it's better than having an empty sink basin, right?
It is. And I'm actually just, my producer Dave just pulled up the website, thegalley.com, G-A-L-L-E-Y. And it looks like it can go into existing countertops and or if it's a new build, you could retrofit this into it, correct?
Yes. So it's, of course, easiest in like a remodel or a new construction, but you could put it into existing cabinetry. The existing countertop, it might be a little bit tricky to pull off a full countertop, recut the opening for a 5-foot galley or a 7-foot galley. But, of course, you could try to do that. Replacing the countertop would be a great time to put it in. It does fit in standard cabinetry sizes. There's 6 lengths. So we have a 2-foot, 3-foot, 4-foot, 5-foot, 6-foot, and a 7-foot. So you're able to fit into standard cabinetry. You don't have to do custom cabinets.
Yeah.
The cutout does have to be pretty exact for those accessories to fit in and slide around.
And it looks like it's an undermounted unit, right? Just like an undermounted sink?
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. And I'm looking through the site as we're talking here, and I'm seeing it looks like a bamboo hardwood finish in one. Is that an available option?
Yeah. Yes, so there's 4 finishes. When you purchase the galley, you're getting that dual-tiered stainless steel basin, and you're getting a culinary kit. The culinary kit includes the cutting board, the mixing bowl, the colander, and the platform that holds it, and then the drying rack. And all of those can be chosen in either bamboo, graphite wood composite, which is a really high-density and high-performance wood composite material, and gray or white resin. So you have 4 finishes to choose from based kind of on your aesthetic of your kitchen.
Yeah, and it's great for entertaining. I'm looking at one of the photos here with the bamboo finish, and it's got all the slots, almost like a professional salad bar almost, and you could put your olives, your cheeses, and all that stuff in it. So it kind of alleviates the need to have a separate display area for your food.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to. And that condiment board that you're actually referring to, I like it a lot for prepping like a chili where you're cutting up all kinds of veggies before you're throwing them in that hot pot. Mm-hmm. If you prep them all and put them in all kinds of bowls all over the kitchen, they're pretty much all over the kitchen. But now you can keep them in your workstation because you have all your tins right there in the workstation. And then we have smaller ones that you can use for, like you were saying, an entertainment area. You can write on that graphite wood composite and make a cheese board and then put your nuts and pickles and olives right next to it. So
sweet.
You can really do your serving, you know, your taco nights, your pizza nights. You can have an ice cream bar. You can do all of your entertaining with your cheeses and wines and everything, all right there in the system. So your kitchen, again, stays quite clean.
Awesome stuff. I really love the product. And is it sold through distributors or is it sold directly through the galley?
So it's sold through our network of dealers. We have like hand-selected quite a few dealers around the country. Here in Chicago, we have our main plumbing dealers, our Advantage up in Niles and Hydrology in downtown Chicago, and then Apt Electronics out in Glenview. And then we do have select kitchen designers throughout the area and throughout the country.
And the faucet units are separate, correct?
Correct. So it comes separately. We will have a galley tap on sale soon that we have created, designed, and engineered specifically for the workstation. So the ergonomics of the faucet are absolutely perfect for the workstation. It hits right in the center of the workstation. It's nice and tall. It'll clear pots. It's a pot fill height. It'll actually have a 27-inch pullout. So it's the longest pullout on the market, and it'll be machined marine-grade stainless steel. So it's a really high-quality piece of plumbing, I guess you could say. And it's all made in Italy, and then the workstation, of course, is made in the U.S.
Beautiful stuff. Really, really impressed by it, Alexandra. Good luck with it. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be gangbusters or is gangbusters already. I could see it being a really popular product. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So we're going to wrap up this segment here. We got about a minute left. I want to talk quickly about our 10 home buyers start there. This is a statistic that Dave brought to my attention. That was really cool. It's worth mentioning. And if you're in the market to buy a new home, and you should look for a galley, like I just talked to you about. I think it's really important and really cool. But here are a statistic that was interesting. 4 in 10 home buyers start their house hunting with an online search. According to the National Association of Realtors, for consumers starting to think about buying a home in the coming year, consider the following tools for the beginning stages of buying a home journey. Number one, social media. Many buyers turn to social media resources like Pinterest for inspiration on the type of home they want. In fact, 49% of millennials use Pinterest, 37% use Facebook, and 33% use Instagram for home decorating ideas. For Gen Xers, 32% use Pinterest, 37% like Facebook, and 11% favor Instagram. So it looks like social media has become one of the top sources for inspiring people to buy a certain type of home. Mobile real estate listings. It can be difficult to narrow down online searches to homes that meet all of a home buyer's criteria. Using a comprehensive online tool like Real Estate Center can help you refine a home search. If you're selling a home, it can help determine a home's estimated value. Some even provide an ancillary information about a neighborhood, school data, workability sources. I mean, it just seems like overall, the front line of selling a home or buying a home these days is online. Now, you can also find resources for online down payment sources. 71% of Americans are unaware of a down payment assistance program. According to NeighborWorks, Bank of America's Down Payment Resource Center offers a searchable database of more than 1,000 local and national assistance programs that can help consumers reach their down payment goals. That's an interesting. I never heard of that. Dave, have you ever heard of that?
You know, there's also some program called the Building Blocks. I remember in the newsroom where certain areas, I know Berwyn is one of them, where they offer you $10,000 towards your down payment as long as the home is vacant. It's called the Building Blocks program, and that really caught my eye as well.
Yeah. And we'll just, last one here is the loan status portals. Real-time loan status information for helping and alleviate consumers' anxiety about the mortgage process. That could be also helpful too. I mean, anything that reduces anxiety and stress is a good thing.
And you know what? When you're buying a home, it's about a month and a half of paperwork. And if it expires, if the paperwork expires, you have to redo some of the paperwork. So might as well get all this information and start searching it before you even get into it.
Sounds good. Thanks for the tips, Dave, and the research on that.
Brown paper packages tied up with strings.
Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show. Yep, that's right. You heard him. It's time for a few of my favorite things, or at least one of them this week. And my wife is a huge fan of aromatherapy. She uses essential oils all the time, especially when the kids are sick or she wants to kind of bring a new fresh feeling to the home. Joining me on the phone is Jeremy Brockbank, founder of Invigorate Oils. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how are you, Frank?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us this Sunday. Tell us about it, man. Invigorate. I don't know if you heard, my wife's a huge fan. She uses essential oils all the time, but now we could take it on the go.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, first off. Yeah, for sure. I think the interesting thing is I noticed a couple years back that people had a bunch of essential oils on their skin and throughout their home, daddy's home infusers and diffusers. But the big problem is they had chemical products in their car. And I noticed that on Amazon, I read a bunch of the reviews and tried a bunch of the other, you know, car diffusers, and they were very poorly reviewed. And so we spent the last two and a half years really kind of perfecting a product that that would diffuse essential oils in the, you know, through your 12-volt or USB.
Yeah, I'm actually holding it as we speak right now. It looks like, for, you know, for the folks who are familiar with, you know, like the lighter, you know, the car lighter chargers, you know, it looks similar to that, except on the head of it, it's got this diffuser unit. What went into the modeling of this?
Yeah, so a couple of things. We have the only car diffuser that has a micro fan and a heat plate. Hmm. So it heats the oil. So you add the oil in, you know, as you see fit.
Well, let me see. How do you do that? Because I just pulled the silver top off.
Yeah.
And I'm looking in.
Absolutely.
There's a filter. I see a little foam filter. Now, where do I pour the oil into?
Just right on the foam filter.
All right. I'm going to as we're talking right now to just test this here.
You should be able to get maybe 10 or 11 drops in there.
And how do I know when it's full?
You know, you don't want it to overflow. So as soon as it looks like it's pretty soaked up there.
All right,
so
doing
the good
it now.
Thing about the, yeah, good. I think the good thing about the unit is it'll heat it up. You can put in whatever oil blends that you want, and then the fan will push it out to you. And so, you know, there's a couple major benefits on this, you know, the specific product itself. Number one is it, you know, it looks phenomenal as well. If you try it at nighttime, there's a blue LED light, so it's bringing in your visual sense as well as obviously your, the aromatherapy benefit. So here's kind of, if I could set the backdrop for you.
Please.
Imagine you're in Chicago traffic, you know, rush hour traffic. Would you rather be smelling in chemicals or would you rather have some orange citrus that's, you know, all natural? And like you mentioned, it's all mood altering, so it feels fantastic. A couple extremely important benefits here, Frank, is if you look at, you know, a couple of the chemical products on the market, mm-hmm. like if you look at like Little Trees, if you go on their website, the MSDS sheet, the material safety data sheet, does not lend itself to inhalation. And it says you can't get in your eyes. If you go on to the Natural Resource Defense Council, it mentioned that 12 of the 14 chemical air fresheners currently have phthalates. And the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, said they classify phthalates as a group of chemical used to make plastics more flexible, used as solvents that can damage the liver, the kidneys, the lung, and the reproductive system. And I got one more for you. If you just go on to Procter & Gamble's product, it's pgproductsafety.com, they create Febreze.
Well, Febreze, everybody knows.
Yeah, absolutely. So they have acetone in there, which is a heart and brain toxin. Butane, which is lighter fluid.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, exactly. Propane, which we obviously use for barbecuing, and benzene, which is linked to leukemia. So not only are we getting rid of using these horribly, harsh chemicals in our cars, but now we're mood altering, which, you know, obviously will make us feel much better.
How is that legal? How can they legally do that? I mean, it makes no
sense. Yeah, isn't that insane? It doesn't make any sense. There's some crazy stuff on the shelves in retail stores right now.
Yeah, I mean, so it makes all the more reason to go out and get a product like this. I just poured in the tea tree oil that was sent along with it. What are the benefits of diffusing a tea tree?
Okay, so tea tree has quite a few different benefits to it. So, for example, it kills common strains of fungi and bacteria. It's found in the Melaleuca plant. So it's great for treating skin care problems linked to acne or through athlete's foot. All of these different oils have different benefits to them. So, for example, if we're talking about oregano, it's a flu and cold fighter, which is obviously extremely important in Chicago in the winter, right? And so you got, you know, frankincense is obviously helps with immunity and inflammation. There's just some great articles that we put up there on facebook.com/invigorateoils mm-hmm. with an S, which will bring up a bunch of things from studies from the University of Minnesota, an article out there from the LA Times today, Huffington Post, Canada, among others, so your audience can view and see all the different benefits of awesome. Different essential oils.
I'm into it, man. Like I said, my wife uses it all the time. We have the diffusers in our house. I'm going to plug this guy in on the way home and just kind of take it all in as I'm driving home.
So remember one thing. So citrus oils, like if you're going to put orange in there, there's certain oils that don't smell quite as well as other ones. So citrus will last maybe 30 minutes. When you put something like cinnamon in there, it'll last all day.
How long will the tea tree last?
It'll last quite a bit longer. Just stay away from some of the different citrus ones. What we're actually releasing in 2 weeks is some great blends. So it'll make some of these citrus ones last a little longer. So you're going to have a defense blend. You're going to have a dream blend, a citrus mist, a bunch of others. What we have today for your audience, if they go onto Invigorate Oils with an F, mm-hmm. they have 40% off of the car diffuser.
Awesome.
And just right at checkout. And then obviously we're launching those 100% oil blends here in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
So if they like us on Facebook, we'll send them more information.
Jeremy, this is good stuff, man. I think you're doing something good for the world here. There's a lot of product.
I appreciate it.
Not, I mean that. It doesn't sound like one of those cheesy lines, but I think it's a great thing. I mean, anytime you can de-stress in any environment, especially when driving, people get so stressed
yeah.
out. You know, it's like this is the right place, the right time to be releasing a product like this. Like I said, I'm gonna drive home with it on, and then I'll report back next Sunday. How about that?
Okay, and absolutely. And date night, take it out at nighttime and see the blue light. I think you're going to absolutely love it.
Hey, now, I'll put some love oils in there, too.
That's right.
All right, Jeremy, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're awesome. Appreciate the time.